football on off the ball.
Toby, I'm just a bit standoffish, to be honest. And I just said that to the lads in the dressing room. We're getting too much respect. And for me, on a football pitch, when you give teams too much respect, it's a fear. Yeah, didn't like it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
All right. We've gone from a Baz to a Baz. We've got Barry McCarthy from Temple Oak, over 35s here. I'm holding the jersey. Keith's got one as well. You're trying to do some recruitment here, Barry, straight away. So Keith is 2 years outside of 35, so he's perfectly eligible to play for Temple Oak over 35s, and you may well have signed him to play.
We've got the pen here if Keith is up for it. There's a very good over 35s team there, and now there's a B team, and that's the team that I'm just about clinging on to.
Right, because you know what? Not everywhere can actually field two over 35. Sometimes it's a case of trying to drag players involved to get them out, but obviously you've got a bit of depth there.
We do, yeah. So the over 35s team, it's founded about 8 years ago, and they've been really successful. So Mark Leach, who helped launch the jersey with us, his brother Barry, it was his kind of brainchild. There's like a father and son management team, and Dave and Mick Barry, and yeah, they're very good. You've Derek Foran, Dane Massey, Robbie Collins, Brian Morris Rowe, probably leave someone out, Pat Sullivan, who scored in the Europa League.
Yeah.
And he'll tell you that, I'm sure. Andy McNulty, but they're brilliant. But alongside them is guys who played for the club since they were, you know, boys, so. Really, really good. They've been very successful. 3 amateur cups and stuff.
Yeah. Like, so this is class, right? So yeah. You can see, you know, the Oasis script has been used here. So hopefully Noel and Liam Gallagher will be too busy with their tour to come after you for using the script to be very similar to Oasis. But tell me the idea behind this.
Sure. So look, the jersey is a bit of fun, and it's helped us get a bit of awareness on the club and what we're trying to do. But what we're trying to do is very important. There's a family at the club, the O'Neill family. They've been club members for 30 years, you know, really visible. And tragically, they lost their son, Tiernan, to cancer 20 years ago. And unthinkably, their other son, Sultan, who was a playing member of our under-17s team, he is now also facing his own cancer battle. He'd played 3 days before his diagnosis, like, incredibly strong young man. The team went on to win the league, and the club is really rallying around the family with a number of initiatives, and the jersey is just something I spotted, and a colleague, Paddy Couser, spotted, and we really turned it around in 2 weeks and launched it about 4 days ago.
Wow, that's incredibly quick turnaround to get it done as well. Like, it's especially cruel for any family to have a teenage child to be affected by cancer, and cancer will probably visit all of our families at some point. But to have it strike twice with two kids is particularly cruel, isn't it?
It really is, and I've 3 children myself, when I saw the fundraiser, and we'll talk about that in a second, there is a sense of, like, you know, don't ask to be asked to do something, just pick it up and do it yourself. So I know a committee was formed, and they've been working really hard on a number of initiatives to support the family. They're a very visible family around. I've seen Ulton up and around the club, even though he's been having treatment since around Paddy's Day. And the idea for me, I suppose I've got a background in marketing. I was actually made redundant 3.5 weeks ago. Shout out to unnamed former employer. Was sat there, and you tell yourself what you tell other people, like, stay busy and don't mope. And like, this was literally right in front of me, the fundraiser. I could see the club were pulling together like a concert and a fund. And it started off in a WhatsApp group. I kind of photoshopped a different version of this logo on our kind of manager of the B team. You know, they wouldn't be sitting here, I wouldn't have a jersey on without Patrick Couser. He absolutely believed in it. I said, we're doing this. And it really was less than 2 weeks ago. Patrick's actually a first cousin of Daniel Lambert,
right,
of Bohemians. So we probably think they're okay with it. We're not sure if they want to give us a dig out.
That'd, yeah, like, how do you get that Oasis jersey done so quickly? We want to do it even quicker.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't really think it's that obvious, is it? But we sort of jumped on it. I'm actually a Shamrock Rovers fan myself.
Oof, right.
So I think both of us are getting equal amount of stick. But I guess we wanted to sort of do something that we felt was, you know, fitting with our values. We're a football club, and over 35s, like Oasis was kind of our thing as well. And sort of maybe try and lean into the two clubs and create a bit of awareness for it and raise awareness of a big concert that's taking place in the National Basketball Arena.
So it's remarkable how a community and a club can rally behind one their own. And like, it must take huge buy-in to actually make this happen.
Yeah, I could thank so many people. I think, you know, Paddy Patrick just absolutely believes in it. He really, really got the idea. The guys on the over 35s, like, I don't know all of them intently, obviously, like, it's a football team, but they're an incredible bunch. Like, and whether it's Dane Massey coming out or Derek Foran, who are like exceptional footballers, you're just another player there. Do you know that sort of way that you're made feel equal, and there's a great buzz. So we had a lot of buy-in, we had a lot of support, and I knew I had a very good photographer, a guy by the name of Graham Coe, who was like hot press for 20 years. And I knew this would be right up his street, that whole Britpop Nolan Leam thing. So Graham flew back from his holidays on Saturday. We got the jerseys on Saturday night after a heavy defeat, 5-1. We do need your help, Keith. That was a B-team defeat. Picked up the jerseys Saturday afternoon, arrived in the clubhouse, and with Dane Massey and Mark Leach. And the lads were just, and Paddy Cowser's obviously in the picture as well. I don't know if you can maybe flash up, the photos are hilarious. Like, I think Mark is still in character. Right. I don't think we're going to get him back. He fully thinks he's Liam Gallagher. My wife Samantha jumped in photos, and we got those back 2 hours later and put it out on Monday morning. We were sold out of our stock allocation by tea time. So that's the community buying in. I've had League of Ireland players buy them. And you know, we've obviously placed another order, and we're stocking up. And then 4 days later, I'm sat here with you guys.
Yeah, because there's the power of social media to a certain extent here as well. So, like, I wasn't exactly expecting over 35's photos to pop up in my feed during the week, and yet here we are. And I'm like, why is Dan Massey wearing this? What's this all about? And like, it's weird when you see it; it draws the eye. And I presume that's a large part of, first of all, people here, this is a really good cause, and you're supporting a family who need financial support at the moment. Second side to it is, it has that eye-grabbing quality, which meant people have got invested in the story.
Yeah, and it was you mentioned community, but you know, very rough mock-up, and then a pal of mine, Riyad, he was able to tidy it up for us, over to the printers. Like, everyone kind of leaned in. The support of our chairman, Gavin Jones, was amazing. Gavin would probably be sat here, but he's on a bit of a holiday. You know, we're a big club. We've nearly 700 players, I think, nearly 50 teams. And everyone, I guess, is trying to play their part. You've had, you know, great support for it. But the shoot itself, it was great fun. You mentioned Dane. Like, Dane rocked in and was, like, calling the shots, you know. There was a tambourine, a harmonica, like, the whole lot. I've done photo shoots with footballers, I guess, before.
Yeah.
And this was just hilarious. Like, the guys are well up for it, and everyone's been really well up for it. So, and we think we can take it to another level. Like, I'm not here to try and call anyone out, but like, the league is great. Excuse me, league is brilliant. We you know, what Bows have done is fantastic as well. I think this is right within their wheelhouse, using your resources, like, punching up, buying into your members, working within your community. It's really, really good. And then as a Rovers fan, and I'm a Shamrock Rovers member, I think I still am. I don't think they'll throw me out for this. You know, we can't be letting Bows just claim Oasis either. So we have to try and get that out.
Oh, see, yeah, Keith, Bows is far too hipster. Shamrock Rovers are, you know, concentrating the field, trying to qualify for the Conference League. They let Bows do their thing, right?
It's unbelievable stuff. This is the sort of stuff that makes you fall back in love with sport. You know, sometimes you look at sport and it can be a little bit hard to stay in love with it, but when you see people rallying around the Tiernan and Ulton, it's heartbreaking. As a father of four, it's very easy for me to put myself into those shoes and how heartbreaking it must be. And I know we're joking here, but I would absolutely love to get involved and play a game of football, which isn't, you know, it'd be a small little contribution that I could make. I would absolutely love to get involved and not quite have the fitness. I don't think I'll be on the left wing or the right wing, but if you need
a little brain.
You know? And do the jerseys come in an extra large, by the way? That's my biggest worry at the minute.
So they're a small fit, to be honest.
Oh, no.
To be honest,
it's not what I needed.
They're trim. But yeah, we've all sizes. So if people go on to templeoakunited.ie or onto our Instagram, templeoakunitedfc, you'll see three things there. You can order the jersey. I think you're being harsh, Keith. I think you look pretty trim. to be honest, we've a couple there. But you'll see three links there if you don't mind me plugging. So you've got the concert is the main thing. That's the ultimate pillar for this, getting the whole community together in the basketball arena August 21st. So we've got the High Kings are performing there, Abba S, Keith Barry, Luke Thomas, a couple of stage schools are connected with the club as well, the Watson Twin Academy who operate out of the club as well, and Steptacular Stage Schools. So you've a great mix of like international acts and then people from our local community. You can buy a ticket for that. It's over 3 hours of entertainment and it's going to be a brilliant night. Yeah, we might have a few surprises there as well.
Did you have entertainment expertise within the club to put this on? Because again, like, that's a massive undertaking to take out the arena and to, you know, get all these acts booked and get all of the kind of logistics around all that as well.
Yeah, licenses.
Yeah.
The reality is, so I know a committee was formed really, really quickly, and it's like who can help and what. I'm in a committee now. I do not know the people who are in that committee. It's probably a butcher, a baker. It's probably people who can help with absolutely everything. It is, as you said, Keith, it's what makes you fall in love with clubs and support. I have a 6 and a 7 year old playing in the club. I have a younger daughter as well. Never thought I'd coach. I think a lot of people wouldn't want me to coach either if they saw me play. But yeah, it's a great feeling. A lot of that's kind of being removed from the world and society. So clubs like this, and you know, a committee of people I would have never met before. You know, telling you've done something well or like do that a little bit better. It's great. It's very humbling.
Yeah. You know, it bonds the club together as well, because as you were saying earlier, maybe the 35 B's are your group of mates and you might know some other people in the club. You get involved now in a committee, or you get involved in the night, or you maybe meet someone at the other end of the club that you would have never met before probably.
Oh, without question. It's a whole new world when you're a parent. Like, there's the school drop-off is a whole different kind of thing. You realise you're all together. The stuff that a 6 year old will tell you on a football pitch on a Sunday morning is going to be the highlight of your weekend.
Yeah,
like you get all the news, you know, completely made up stuff. It's very, very funny. The club is amazing. You know, very proud to be a tiny part in terms of putting the cones down for the 2018's team, then jumped on this, and it did happen very quickly. Like we probably could have brought more people along with it. But Paddy was determined that it could happen, and just left me to do the marketing bits and bobs on it. And Gavin was really, really supportive in terms of we can get this through, and it's gathering momentum. We had Richie Tell, who's brilliant up there. Richie has his professional coaching academy out of the club as well, plugging it. I didn't want to name specific people, but I'm going to maybe call out one. So Sean Gannon sent me a message from like Baku, I think it was, you know,
or the Carabao game. Yeah,
and I'm sure he was focused on the game, Joey, and all that, but like he was like, Baz, I just landed and I just had a chance to properly read this, I'm ordering one, you know, what and he said, I'll do anything. Yeah. I'll do anything. No connection to Templeoakunited, you know, that I can think of, but I'll do anything. So, and there's loads more. I don't want to call anyone out. I do think though, anyone listening to this can help. I do believe that if it's just sharing it, buying a concert ticket would be the best thing you could do for us. If I'm being honest, or donate on the website. But similarly, I was messing, thinking, coming in, but if there's people from MCD here, like Oasis are playing, can you give the family a night out, whatever that would be. Yeah. Heath will definitely chat about that and take you up on the offer of thought of silly stuff we could do, but it's all trying to get eyeballs on something that's very, very serious and very important and very at the heart of what the club is about.
I love the fact that it's like football bringing people together as well, because Keith, we started the day by you saying, at some point, even when you were a teenager, football became a job.
Became a job, yeah. And it, like I say, it's this sort of stuff that just gives you that little kick up the backside to go, do you know what? Football can be a really good thing. It can bring communities together. And I'm like I say, this is not just for the cameras or the mics. I'm desperate to get involved. There's no better better reason to come and play a game of football over 35. Am I right in saying that every cent raised goes directly to the family?
Yeah, I'll, the profits go to the family. There's a number of initiatives going on at the club. I couldn't speak at length about them. The jersey is a really small thing, but it's I thought it would be a magnet in if it kicked off, yeah. And the photos was a part of that, and I'd say even to the maybe club members listening, like get in touch with the committee, get in touch with Gavin or even myself, because we do need more help, you know, whether that's if you think about that match, Keith, like we'd love that. That's going to need organising, like the arena is going to need organising, like everyone's working really really hard, but it's the 35s, like the 35s is. I love the League of Ireland, like it's been deadly the last few years.
Yeah.
But the 35s, I think, is the next big thing. Like, I think that's where Duffer's next job is going to be. It's when you look, yeah. You look at the players playing in it.
Tempelog's new over 35s A-lander next year.
He's not going to get that job. David McBerry have too many trophies in the locker there. But it is like I was thinking about it. Is it because people minded themselves during lockdown or something like that, or I don't know what it is, but.
Take-up is huge in it, right? So even back home for me, when they started their league, it wasn't big the first couple of seasons. They kind of got 10 teams, 11 teams out. Yeah. Now they've got two divisions, they've got two leagues. Yeah. Teams have, again, as you say, maybe it's a case of guys get to that kind of age. Maybe they were still playing for the seniors when they were 35, 36. Now they kind of transition into the over-35s team. Yeah. And it gets properly competitive. I was at the final at home last year. Like this is good standard. This isn't lads walking around football. This is proper football.
Honestly, like every few weeks I'll get a bit giddy and say like, oh, I could be on the A team, and I'll text Dave Barry's the manager, his son is also with my son, the 2018 right. Academy, so he's very good to me, but and then you go and watch them and you're looking at so you mentioned senior players like Alan McGreal, who's probably well known. Like he picks a ball up off Brian Morris-Rowe. How did I forget Brian Morris-Rowe? He'll be slaughtered now. And it's genuinely, they're really, really, really good, and it's not shouting and roaring. They're like they're a serious outfit, and it's great, but it's also that I do still feel there's a novelty element of like, God, what are we doing at 40? Like I got mentioned the job thing earlier on. Sorry to jump back. I was in here 2 weeks ago.
It wasn't us that fired him. So go on.
No, it wasn't. I'm available for hire though. I was in town with my wife's Amanda, like, and she was like, "Do you want a new pair of boots?" And I was like, "Jeez, like the lad." I think when you know, felt like a teenager. I was like, "I do actually, yeah." So you get the new pairs and you send them around to everyone. You've got 40. Oh God, they're brilliant. Like, it's what are we like? But look, it's great to keep playing for as long as you can, and there's a great community spirit up there, and I do genuinely mean like the. Dane Matthews, who's from the locality, Derek Foran, they come in and you don't feel like they're looking down you. They are looking down you because they're big lads, but they're great, and they muck in as much as anyone else.
How are these selling so far? I know this is only kind of part of it, but
yeah.
First run, how have they sold?
We sold out on our allocation by tea time that day.
Right.
Yeah, tea time that day we were sold out. We just advertised it on, I think, our Instagram, and it went around WhatsApp groups, and it was sold out. So we subsequently placed another order. You know, they're obviously from Areia and manufactured in Italy, so they're quite nice. They're snug, as we were saying earlier on, Keith. Yeah. yes, placed another order in, it's a great problem to have.
Yeah.
In terms of filling them up, so you'll find links on the website, and you'll find links on our social media, you know, Tempelog United FC or tempeloguniteid.ie. But the jersey won't be for everyone. We get that, and you know, your listenership, not everyone will be interested in the jersey. Donate every cent helps. They're an amazing family. It's an amazing cause. Or the concert ticket would be great. Like, it'll be a really really good night.
From everything you've mentioned, it seems Tempelog United are flying. If you're talking about like hundreds of members, you're talking about all the teams that you have there at the moment. This seems like it's a club that's gone really well.
I'm glad you said that. I don't feel like I've the authority to speak on it, but something I feel.
Yeah.
I think I've kind of grown up when. So we had the Italian 90 boom and soccer was everything. And then it felt like there was a weird 10, 15 years, I feel, where other sports grew. And soccer became, you know, not popular and was talked about in really, really, really strange terms. And I think that's changed. I think that's changed at the top end of the game and the bottom end of the game. We have over 70 kids train consistently on a Sunday morning at 9 o'clock in our academy. That's bonkers. Absolutely bonkers. Boys and girls. I have a 6-year-old and a 7-year-old, and soccer is just something they talk about. Like they ask their mum every morning, "Mum, you know, who's the GOAT, Ronaldo or Messi?" And that's it. That's the connection. But then, you know, we can take them up to Tala on a Friday or a Saturday for a women's game. They love going up, love having that connection. And the club is, it feels like it's gone from strength to strength. I played for a couple of years when I was a teenager, but there's a great spirit around there. We've got obviously the 35 senior teams, boys, girls. I can tell you that there's new directors of footballs and a proper structure being put in place. So for me, as someone who cares about like community football, thinks that football in Ireland has potentially got a bit of a hard run, a bit of an unfair treatment, if I'm being a little bit honest, getting a bit spiky now. I think at the grassroots, I see a lot going right. We played a friendly with St. Francis, so name dropped them at the weekend. They're 6 and 7 year olds, but the setup up there, the coaches, how you're made feel for the hour, the style of football being played by 6-year-olds, like genuinely the style of football, you're thinking they're way ahead of us. They're maybe not ahead of you.
No, I think you've touched on probably a pet hate of mine, like 6, 7. From the age of anything under 15, I don't think there should be really a tactics board in sight. A lot of it should just be about fun and enjoying yourself and having a smile on your face. And if you get to a certain level where you want to take it seriously, no problem, go and do that. But football, early stages, should be about enjoyment and just getting yourself out of the house and being physically fit. I mean, I remember going into Blackburn's Academy when I was really, really young. I think I was 17 or 18, but I played a game for the first team, and when I came into the academy, he said, "Keith, will you come into the under eight team and give a bit of a team talk?" And as I walked in, the manager's on a tactics board telling them how to defend corners. I was thinking, this is too much, this is overkill, and I think it's getting worse year on year on year. People are being coached so much that there's no problem solvers anymore, and when people get a problem on the pitch that the manager hasn't told them what to do, they really, really struggle. And
sounds like a way to drive kids out of the game, though, as well, doesn't it? Like, if you're going along and say you're not successful and you're getting hassled for not tracking back and you're 9 years of age or not playing in the right position or whatever, you just got to play another sport.
Exactly. Yeah, and how you make the players feel for that hour while they're with you. And my kid is 6, my young fella Teddy is 6, and he plays in the Sherry Street Academy on a Saturday morning. And honestly, he doesn't care about the football. It's just about racing other people. He wants to win races. He wants to be the force there. It's not about winning the game of football. He really doesn't care. And it's just about getting him out of the house. And if that develops into something, all well and good, then we'll try and pursue it. But I think a lot of people push people into the professional side. Not everybody that plays football needs to go on to be a professional footballer. There's other advantages of it.
Yeah. Again, I'm not meaning to pry into your personal history too much here, but you talk about playing as a teenager. Now you're talking about the over 35s. What's in the middle there? Did you disappear out of football for a while, or what happened?
What's in the middle? To touch on Keith's point, I feel a little bit lucky that I instantly knew I wasn't going to be a good footballer. So I grew up and I always had, our parents were, our mothers were pregnant at the same time. So I grew up with Dave Mooney, former League of Ireland top goal scorer, had a great career in England. I grew up with David, I just always knew he was there. And then at the other end of the road was Andy Cousins, brother Tony. So there was four of us, another pal, Jones. I knew from the age of the three, there was us and them. So my enjoyment of football came from the enjoyment of football, like getting it off Dave Mooney. You know, that's a great thrill. But there was never any pressure for me there. I've just always loved the game, loved the game culturally, if you know what I mean, as well, without trying to be hipster about it. And to Keith's point, like, not being in the game or on elite teams, but being around people who are. I did a bit of, volunteering and stuff with Shamrock Rovers, and you get to meet people and you get to meet coaches who are on paths, and they talk to you about what that looks like and stuff, and the kind of more formal side of the game. So I've always, I was going to say student of the game, I'll be slaughtered for that. Like, a really keen interest in what the really great, the really, really great people are doing. So following David's career, following Andy's career, getting to know, I don't want to do the name draft thing, but like good coaches who are good players and household names, and them instantly realising I wasn't trying to be a footballer or hang out with them and stuff, but you learn. never thought I'd coach. Got in with the 2018s, whatever age they were.
Is that the old classic story? It's like, you know, kids within the house, and that gets me in, basically.
It's the cliche you're told, do not kick a ball back. But, you know, don't kick a ball back. And I think I sprayed one of your passes back, and they were like, where are you? But on the play thing, again, I feel in football, it's been given a hard rep. The FAI have kind of rejigged their coaching pathways a little bit. I won't try and talk about it, but I did go along to the latest kind of iteration, which is the Me and My Ball, so the Me and My Ball, Me and My Team kind of courses. And that was a couple of weeks ago, and that is aimed about fun.
Okay.
So instead of goals, you're carrying around like a pool noodle and getting the kids to jump through them and everything else. That feels a little bit more what we should be doing with 4 and 5 and 6 year olds.
Yeah. By the way, I don't worry about you getting spiky at all, because we sit here and have these conversations all the time, particularly around funding and so on. And the amount of times that we've sat down with clubs around Dublin where it's like they're struggling to get pitches, they can't get their own home, they're having to rent them, then that becomes difficult because there's 2 or 3 clubs trying into the one place. And everyone seems to see it as there's money going into the FAI. And definitely that's the way that ministers see it. I'm glad that you're able to give us a feeling for, look, this is what happened in the community, and there's hundreds of people that are served by football in your area by the club being there.
I'm glad you brought that up. What boils my blood, we'll let the handbrake off now a little bit.
Go on, it's a safe zone.
Oh no, he didn't. No, but it's when you open up Twitter and you see people having a good crack at the FAI and a good crack about the issues that might be facing the organisation such as that. The joke's on us, the joke's on us, because our kids don't have facilities to play on a Saturday or Sunday morning, or actually we should be looking at it as 7 nights a week.
Yeah,
we should be looking at that as community hubs that we can all exercise and engage in. They're employment centres, you get a coffee shop, you get to create a genuine hub. Instead, it feels like we're at times pitching sports against each other.
Oh man, it kills me.
And we've extremely successful rugby clubs, J clubs in the area. They're fantastic, but if we continue to just let's have a pop at the FAI, then the only person we're hurting is ourselves. Like the only person we're hurting is our future generation. Like, I don't mean to say future generation lofty, but it's your sons and daughters, your nieces and nephews, and subsequent there. We've an Astro Park up in Tymon Park, and it's used from morning to night, you know, and out of that will come another Dara O'Shea from the club, or a Conor Cairns, Katie McCabe was there for a bit. Or it won't, Keith. It'll be a fella who plays from, you know, academy, or a girl who plays from academy right the way up. You've had great people sat in the studio here. You've had Graham Gartland, Don Doyle. You've had lots of people speak really well. Both of those guys are supporting this, actually, by the way.
Yeah.
But we need to just take a little step back and stop making it kind of parochial and just focus on the kids.
Sounds to me like you could have a good ringer team by the end of this. You get Keith, you put Doyle up front, Gartland can look after it defensively. You've obviously mentioned a few others like Dane and so on. I think there's a good over 35s team just in this group of lads.
Yeah, I'm not even going to get it on the squad for the Bees at this rate, am I?
I'm worrying about High Line. Can we be playing High Line with an over 35s team? Dane Massey turning and running towards his own box, I don't think is what we want to be seeing.
Don't worry. Sit deep, low block.
Yeah, that's
counter attack.
Just as somebody quick up front.
spray the ball up to Owen Doyle, you'll be fine.
You think that. Then you've got the lads who've been at the club since junior, and they're going to be in your ear. I said they're not shouting and roaring, but there's a little bit of shouting and roaring if someone's not on it. I was there the first night Dane came up. It was like a 7-a-side or a 9-a-side or something. And like, they've been around good footballers growing up, like the Keith Fahies and whatnot, and you're going, Genie Macker, like, look at that. But Dane was outrageous. I think he maybe stopped playing for Dundalk 2 months prior, maybe a little bit longer. And I remember just coming away from session, I've never thought this forward. He played for an hour and didn't use his upper body. Like, he was like, I can't do that to his lads. So he just used probably big toe, little toe. And it was a joke to watch. Really, really good. So yeah, there's some serious players there, but it's great crack, you know.
People don't realise how good these ex-pros are. When we saw Kevin Kilbane for the first time, Kev was only like...
Actually.
Think Kev's in Canada, but stick him down by all means, we can get in touch, right? First time I saw Kev play fives, it was like he barely had to move because Kev's first touch was so good. And like, he's not somebody you would associate being like a massively skillful player, but you could tell he knew how to move his body, just kind of, you know, he was just that step quicker than anyone else who was there.
You know, we used to call him in the Irish team, Zinedine Skillban.
Skillban, I had heard
Zinedine Skillban.
Skill was in there.
He's probably the nicest man I've ever met in football as well, killer. Really, really nice bloke. I ended up sitting on the wrong table. The first time I played for Ireland, I was really eager, so I thought, I'll get down to dinner early and make sure I'm not late. And there's three round tables. I sat on the first one, I seen, looked up, Shea Given, Robbie Keane, John O'Shea, Richard Dunn, all around me. I thought, I'm on the wrong table here. I'm on the senior table. I thought, do I get up and walk off? But as I was sitting there weighing up my options, thinking, well, I just get up and walk off. Killer was like, Keith, how's things at press and everything all right? And just broke the ice in me, and I thought, thank God, killer, because I was flagging. I didn't know whether to get up and leave or not, but yeah, killer, probably one of the nicest men in football and an unbelievably talented man. Sometimes people say, 100 caps for Ireland. Unbelievably talented.
I would say go watch him in person. You'll see, even like a couple of years out of the game, he was that good. It was just absolutely incredible. Look, he's in TSN at the moment over in Canada. If he's not appearing in Canada's version of OK Magazine, he may well be upset with this. We'll at least get him to send you a video or something.
Could like you will have to train. That's the only thing if he wants to get in. I'm joking. It's great. I honestly, as someone who just likes football, it's great to see these guys and just see how good they are and how good I'm not.
100%. I just to give a mention again. So the 21st at the basketball arena in Tallaght, you've got the High Kings, Keith Barry, Abba Esque. You've got like a great crew that are going to come along for the night. I think that's really important. If people can pick up tickets, they can donate, of course, at Tepelog United as well, or they can pick up some of these jerseys. So the first batch of 100 or so are already gone. At what point do you stop and go? The one after jersey is now finished.
Thanks for that. I really want to keep going. I think we've done this in a week. You might think I'm mad. Why wouldn't Noel and Liam get involved? We definitely take Liam around for a kick around as well. Sorry for the jokes. But why would we stop now? The family need everything. Everything. They've a lot going on. Anything we can do, anything your listeners can do. Thanks, Keith, for the offer of the game, the clubs and the league. The FAI have been, they were good. I know. Ulton got to go out to the open training session with Heimer and the lads a while ago. So we're really grateful for all of that. Darragh O'Shea's club, man, really grateful. There's stuff I can't mention them as well, and I won't know about. But anything that anyone can do listening would be really appreciated. It's a really important one for the O'Neill family and the club.
Fair play for everything you've done. I mean, from us, the O'Neill family, hopefully this is going to raise a lot of money, and best wishes to them at a very difficult time for them. Sounds like it's been a great thing for Templeogue United in a more general sense as well. And thanks to Mill for dropping in.
Thanks for having me.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Football on Off the Ball.
So, yeah, just a little bit standoffish, to be honest. And I just said that to the lads in the dressing room. So, yeah, we get the too much respect. And for me, on a football pitch, when you give the teams too much respect, it's a fear. Yeah, didn't like it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.